Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Living by Design radio show. I am your hostess, Kathy Holloway Hill, and I am so happy to bring another empowering episode to you, my loyal listeners. Now, for those of you who are dialing in and listening in for the first time, Living by Design focuses on areas related to self, health, and wealth improvement for your life. So we welcome you from all over the globe, and today we have an amazing show and a wonderful guest who absolutely needs no introduction because she is a phenomenon when it comes to being compassionate and committed to so many issues that are occurring in our nation today. So I'm going to go ahead and bring my guest for the evening on the air right now, Miss Soledad O'Brien. I am so happy that you have agreed to join us. Buenas tardes, Señora O'Brien.
Muchas gracias. How are you?
I am amazingly wonderful, and I thank you so much for being here. Yes,
oh, you're nice.
Yes.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Yes, and I'm just going to jump right in because you are a woman of many talents, many, many, many talents. So I know you're in the midst of a transition, and I just want to know what is next for Miss Soledad O'Brien.
Oh, my gosh, so many good things. You know, we had our last day of our show on Friday, which was great. And this morning, which is my first sort of day not working on a morning show for a long time, I got up, worked out, took my kids to school after making them pancakes, had a met a friend for breakfast, doing a little work right now and talking to you, of course. But it's really nice. You know, we're transitioning into anchoring a morning show to starting a venture called Starfish Media Group. I'm going to continue to produce documentaries like our Black in America and like Latino in America, but also take on other projects, you know, just sort of focus on the things that I'm interested in doing and supporting other people's projects that I'm interested in doing. So it's a really interesting time. I'm really excited about it.
Awesome, awesome. And I know you're going to do an amazing job. Now, yes, I am very familiar with Starfish Media Group, and I'm just really curious. That's a very interesting name. How did you come up with that name? Does that hold special meaning to you?
Oh, my gosh, it sure does. When I did a documentary on the orphans in Haiti, Haiti has roughly 400,000 orphans. And I was doing a documentary on the orphans and some of the missionaries who sort of spent their lives trying to help these orphans in a country that had just at that time undergone a terrible earthquake. And I would spend a lot of time with these missionaries, and it was terrible. I mean, babies were dying constantly, not in this particular orphanage, but just around because a lot of kids are not in orphanages. And it was terrible. And finally I said to the missionary, you know, how do you deal with this? How do you come in every day and do something when you know the light is not the end of the tunnel, that you probably will not solve the problem of the 400,000 orphans in Haiti with the 56 that you've taken in? You know, like what you're doing is a drop in the bucket. How do you every day commit to doing something that's honestly is it kind of impossible? And she looked at me and she said, well, you know, it's a starfish story. And I said, well, no, I don't know what that is. What is that? And she said, you know, the starfish story. And she told me the story of a little boy walking along the beach, and all these starfish have been beached because the tide's gone out and they're stuck on the beach. And he starts picking them up and chucking them in. And a man comes up to him and says, what are you doing? There are a million starfish on this beach, and the beach goes on for miles and miles. You'll never be able to pick them all up. And the kid picks up a starfish and chucks it in and says, well, I guess it mattered to that one. And I love that story because, to me, not only did it make sense in our documentary where we really focused on those people who are doing the impossible task at a time when a country really needed it, but also I think there's a metaphor for everybody who's trying to tackle something that's really meaningful and important, but they feel like they're just doing their small part. You know, there are no small parts. I think that everything matters to someone. And it really, for our foundation, we started looking at that for the 25 girls that we send off to college, you know, which is, you know, you really had to decide that you were going to help whoever you could get to wherever they needed to be. You know, I just thought that that was really great. And then for our, you know, company, that we would tell the stories that matter, no matter how big or how small, that individual stories of people's lives matter. And just because you're not necessarily the mainstream group being talked about on the news, and I don't even mean by race or gender or class. You know, I did a documentary on coal miners in West Virginia who also felt like their stories were never told. So I think it was just a great opportunity to say, you know, all these voices really matter. All these individual starfish really matter.
Yeah, and that is such a wonderful story, and I'm glad you shared that, because that's one of the things that I do here on the Living by Design show, is we try to encourage and empower individuals to take control and own their identity and just do what they want to do in their lives. Whatever it is you're passionate about, don't let the fear stop you. And, you know, I just love it when I hear stories of empowerment and encouragement and really trying to help people get over the issues that they have about living their dreams, because if you're really committed to your goal, you can accomplish whatever it is you want. So, you know, I applaud you. I love that story about the Starfish Media Group, and I applaud you for doing that, and I also applaud you for your foundation, your O'Brien and Raymond Foundation that you
Thank you so much. Yeah, my husband and I started it right after Katrina. We send girls to and through college. We started with, you know, just a few girls, now up to 25. And it's been fantastic.
Wow.
It's been a great opportunity. We also do events during the summer for a number of girls, 125 other girls, so 150 in total in New York City. So it's been really a wonderful project, and it just feels like it's very meaningful.
That's amazing. Now, I know I'm probably going to get a ton of calls and a ton of emails about that, your foundation. So can you just give me a little bit more insight? Is there
Sure.
a selection process? And how do you go about selecting the girls who are part of your foundation?
Sure. Most of the girls come to us through either people that we know, or I hand select them because they're people I've done documentaries on. There's no formalized application process to get into us. We ask people to apply, so you have to be invited to apply, and then there's a very rigorous process to apply. Our top number is 25, and we're full, so we will not be accepting any more people to apply this year, but basically it's very aggressive. We look for young women who are survivors, you know, who have, in spite of everything, gone ahead and really tried to be successful and have been successful and try to get themselves through school. So, you know, but this year we're closed for this year.
Okay. And so it sounds like your foundation focuses on young ladies who have been through trials, been through tribulations. They've done every single thing in their power, and they just need some help and encouragement, or maybe financial support, or whatever the case may be, something like that.
And we give everybody financial support and then mentoring support as well.
Great.
And we're always looking for folks who want to be part of our team, either be mentors or people who are interested in helping us out. You know, tuition's expensive, as everybody knows, so any corporations that want to partner with us, we have an event every year. The New Orleans Jazz Orchestra comes and performs, and it's really a wonderful, wonderful night. We have it in New York City this year. Call it New Orleans to Manhattan, and we're going to have a big party and a big celebration. So any corporations that are interested in being partners with us, we'd love to talk to them as well.
Awesome. Now, you know, that brings about another question, because, you know, what you just mentioned about organizations or individuals coming in to us volunteer, what about, I know you do a lot of mentoring, which is a huge part of it, so what about individuals who may want to come and do a workshop or do a seminar or something like that to
Fantastic.
Give the girls
well,
hands-on?
Summer, we would love that, and we are taking folks for our powerful retreat that we're holding this year. So we're looking for folks who are interested in helping us with workshops. And there's a great way to reach out to Rika Triggs, which is our executive director, and our website for our foundation is O'BrienRaymondFoundation.org. And everybody can
O'Brien Raymond
Foundation. Raymond is my husband's last name, R-A-Y-M-O-N-D, O'BrienRaymondFoundation.org, and you'll see Rika Triggs' contact information. You just go ahead and reach out to us, and we would love to work you into our seminars. That would be great.
Awesome. That's wonderful. Now, when will that be held, that event?
That's on June 22nd. It's a Saturday all day, June 22nd, and it's being Credit Suisse is sponsoring us this year. They're our main sponsor. We're looking for other sponsors as well. It'll be 150 girls from New York City, from the just before college through college age, who are looking for inspiration and, of course, practical information about finances and health and beauty, sex ed, you know, anything they need to know about heading off to or getting through college.
That is so wonderful. I am so glad you're doing that because that is a very, very soft spot in my heart because I've always had a passion and desire. I mean, even from a young age, that was my passion. I knew that was my passion when I was a young girl. Because when I was a teenager, I volunteered for Girl Scouts and Big Brothers,
Big
Sisters.
Oh, good
for you. Mm-hmm. Yep, so I've always loved to do that. So it's just kind of evolved for me over the years. And I still do a lot of mentoring for youth organizations and things like
great.
That. So for everyone who's listening, yes, please go to O'BrienRaymondFoundation.org. And if you're interested in volunteering, she would absolutely love to have you. And I'd be thrilled about that as well. You know, since we're on the topic of youth and young people, I noticed that you were recently quoted as supporting the law to ban sodas and sugary drinks and
yeah.
all that junk because of
yes,
childhood
I
obesity. Talk to us, please, about that because we really,
well,
really
remember,
need to
the
hear
law doesn't ban. So the law is not a ban of sodas. What it would do in New York City would ban the large sizes. So let's say you wanted a 32-ounce soda. You just have to go buy two 16 ounces. Because what we were finding, and I say to my own kids, soda is not healthy for you, and you should, like everything, drink it in moderation. But not everybody has a parent who's going to say, hey, don't drink a lot of that. So I think there's something that sort of, you know, and we know that there's a huge correlation between untimely death and way too much sugar in your diet. There's a problem with that. So, you know, I actually support the mayor, Mayor Bloomberg of New York, who basically wants to make it a little more challenging for people to just get giant, massive bottles of soda. You know, I think it's not particularly good for you. I think it should be a little challenging. Now, you can go and buy two 16-ounce bottles, so it's not like you have to overcome a massive obstacle. All you do is pick up two of them if you decide you want 32 ounces. But I think what you find is that people don't grab 32 ounces. They grab a 16 now, right? So right there, they're cutting their soda intake in half, theoretically.
Right.
And you know, I do the same thing with, you know, my kids love juice. I think you shouldn't drink a ton of juice. I think it's not super healthy. Like everything, you should not have a ton. And so what we do is we cut their juice, right? I give them seltzer water. So they have, you know, a little bit of juice with a ton of seltzer, and then they have a nice, sparkly, fruity little drink. But you're
right.
really drinking half the sugar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think
and, you
that's
know,
a really
I,
good way
and
to
I
think
think
about keeping people healthy.
I don't think people realize that sugar actually is one of the top addictions in this country.
Oh, my gosh, and it's correlated to a lot of serious diseases. So, yeah, again, I think it is a lot about just using common sense and cutting back. And again, I don't think, you know, ban is not a good word because it's not banned. You can go in and you can buy 500 ounces of soda if you want. You will have to do a number of trips, and I think that that's the goal. The goal for these things is like a syntax, you know, to slow people down. So when you're buying cigarettes, you're like, wow, that's expensive because they've added so much tax to it. You know, that's the plan, to slow it down so that you think twice about, you know, buying all that of something that's not particularly good for you. So, yeah, I do support that.
Because when you think about it, all of the sugary drinks and all of the sugar period, all it's going to do eventually is add to the health care issues that we already face in our country. I mean, it's just going to add to the cost that it takes to handle those diseases, that all of the diabetes and everything. That
well, I think that there's a real correlation with diabetes, right? So that's a big challenge. Diabetes
right.
is serious. I mean, I'm a diabetic. You know, I'm very careful about what I eat. And sometimes I don't eat particularly well. But, you know, I definitely appreciate kind of getting a handle better on some things that aren't good for me.
Right. Good, good. And, you know, since you said that, you know, hopefully you don't mind answering this question, because I had a sister, and she passed away. She was a type 1 diabetic. So are you type 1 or type 2?
Type 2.
Okay, so you're type 2, which is not quite as serious. I mean, I don't want to minimize it because the seriousness is still there, but type 1 is when you're born with, you know, your pancreas doesn't produce insulin
right,
at all.
Right.
And then type 2 is when, you know, your pancreas works, but it's just your cells are kind of insulin resistant, or I'm not really sure what the term is, but I think that's what it is, something similar to that. But you can overcome it. you can't overcome it.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, and honestly, a lot of it is exercise and what you eat. And, you know, it's just like airports. You know, airports used to have, I travel a ton, airports used to have the worst food in them. It's just not possible to eat well. But, you know, nowadays, they've actually started putting salads in and good food and fruit and vegetables. You know, now you can go through an airport, and now, you know, they've helped you figure out how to eat healthily by giving you better options. So I think it's a matter of, you know, you have to have a little self-control, and not, you know, certainly I wouldn't pretend that I have self-control all the time, but I think you also have to, you know, make smart choices and get some help from people who can say, yes, we're going to help you make smart choices by offering you a really good-looking salad, and here's some cheese, and here's some stuff that's healthy, so you don't just have, you know, chocolate chip cookies for your meal. You know, when you're a diabetic, that's really bad for you, and it's probably going to shave years off your life.
Exactly. And I also want to just throw in here and add, you know, I don't think there's many people who have this problem, but you never know, because I know I have the issue. I don't eat. So I can go days without eating, which is just as bad. Yeah. Which is just as bad because, you know, because I believe in naturopaths. So I have a naturopath doctor. It's not traditional Western medicine. It's alternative medicine. And she told me that if you have hypoglycemia and it's consistent, constant, it could be just as bad because then you have those wild swings of your
you're
blood sugar.
You know, small meals a day and try to keep your blood sugar even. I mean, that's really when I was diagnosed with diabetes. That's what I started doing, just being very careful to eat healthily every day. And, of course, not everybody does. Every day, you know, sometimes you fall off the wagon. But for the most part, to try to make sure you're making some smart choices and, you know, and modeling for your kids smart choices.
Right. Exactly. And people think that means, oh, I have to give up all my good stuff. So when you say smart choices, just give us an idea of, you know, what are some of the food choices that you make? Because you already admitted that you're type 2 diabetes. So what are some of your choices?
You know, so I'm very careful with carbs, and I'm very careful not to have a lot of sugar. You know, so I usually opt out of dinner, you know, for what I have for breakfast. I usually have some kind of, you know, eggs I'll have for breakfast. I'll have turkey bacon for lunch. I usually have some kind of salad made with chicken on it. For dinner,
okay.
I usually, you know, this is the first day that I haven't had an early morning schedule, so very rarely would I eat a dinner late because, you know, I tend to eat two breakfasts. You know, but for dinner, I'll have like a tuna tartare, some kind of, you know, meat, but healthy fish kind of thing, and, you know, just a nice, you know, nuts, and
right.
just not, you know, not a lot of sugar, and just a very sort of moderated diet, and not a lot.
So just make sure
basically
the protein is there.
Yeah, a lot of protein, a lot of, you know, vegetables, and then get exercise.
Yes.
To get to the gym.
Yes.
Work out every day, go for a run, go for a walk.
I think that's the real big aspect of it. I think, you know, because of our sedentary lifestyles, a lot of people just get caught up in their routine and their ruts, and they just don't want to get out there. And you don't have to just, you know, work yourself to a frazzle. I mean, just get out there and walk for 20 minutes or 30 minutes. And, you know, the weather is getting crazy.
I fully understand. I have had, you know, a terrible schedule, and it has been really hard to work out, no matter how much I try. It's just hard. You know, so I fully understand when people say they can't do it. I'm like, I get it. There are times that I just couldn't do it. You know, but unfortunately, it's about your health. You got to figure it out. And I'll tell you, my first Monday of not working a crazy schedule, I got up and went for a run.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you know what, Soledad, with everything you're doing, and you are just a woman on a mission with so many different projects, and how do you manage to balance your work and career? Because I know you have a wonderful, lovely family.
It's really hard, but I think you have to decide, you know, what are your priorities. I think it's very challenging. I think it's always very challenging. You know, and my mom used to always say, everybody gets the same 24 hours. It's just a matter of how you spend it. What do you want to do? And for me, I have a lot of interests and a lot of projects and four kids, which is a lot of kids. And, you know, you have to manage between all of those things that are often competing.
What are their ages?
My twins are 8, and my girls are 11, just turned 11 and 12.
Wow, yeah, so you have some adolescents and some preteens and a little bit of everything in there.
Yeah, exactly.
That is so wonderful. That's great. Well, I know with everything that's going on with you right now, with, you know, you getting started and doing some things with your Starfish Media Group, so is that going to allot you more time to spend with the family, or is that going to be kind of even to where you were before, or worse?
My schedule is pretty crazy, and there's nothing that's the same as waking up at 2:30 or 3 in the morning, you know, so I will not be doing that.
Yes.
So that'll change a lot. But, yeah, I think anytime you're launching a company, it's really crazy and busy and you work a lot. And I think everybody, you know, there's not anybody I know who doesn't work a lot. But I think it's a different thing when you have to get up at some insane hour. So my plan is to continue to work a lot, but, you know, take my kids to school and make sure that I'm in a position to squeeze in workouts every day. I think when you work for yourself, you can really make that happen.
Yeah. I spent 28 years in corporate America at IBM Corporation, and I wasn't happy. I mean, it was someone else designed that life for me, and I just didn't like it. I mean, of course, the money had me stuck there. You know how that gets. But when I finally decided to take control of my life, own my identity, and just step out on my own and do this, which is what I absolutely love, I'm so passionate about it, it makes all the difference in the world, all the difference in the world.
Yeah, it kind of gets your life, I think, back and centered around what you love to do. I think it's very hard to sustain something that's just emotionally not that fulfilling.
Right, exactly. So what are some of your passions? What are some of the things you are really, truly passionate about?
Well, I think what I'm going to be focusing on for our Starfish Media Group is just the projects I like to do. So there was a lot in my day that I love to do, and there was a lot that I didn't really want to do, you know. And so now we'll only have to do the projects that I'm interested in doing. For example, we'll continue to do our Black in America docs, and any stories that I'm interested in telling, we'll figure out how to turn those into a documentary and who we want to do those for. Some will be done for CNN, some will be done for others. And then that's kind of how we will work this company. So I think what we'll do is end up doing a same large number of projects, just only the ones you're interested in, which is kind of a nice
thing. That is awesome. Yes, that is wonderful that you'll be able to do exactly what you want to do. You'll be able to make all your own choices. Yeah, and even though, you know, for me, even I'm an entrepreneur, I'm working harder than I did in corporate America, but I love it because when you're passionate about something, it is so much more rewarding, so much more fulfilling, and you just have a reason to jump out of bed every morning.
Right. I think that's true. I think that's really true.
Yep. So now I really want to ask you, for everyone who's listening, because people listen to this show all over the globe, so, and you are such an influential individual, and I'm just so proud of you, and you just make me smile. Yes, absolutely. What advice do you have for individuals who struggle so much with change? And, you know, they may or may not know what they're passionate about. Some people do. And they're just afraid to just venture out there because they want to stay in their little comfort zones and their little boxes. And I always say, when you want to stay in that box, it locks you into a world of mediocrity. No one wants to be mediocre. But
I think there are some ways for people. You know, I think for me, heading into doing my own company was something that was a couple of years in the making. Probably 2 years ago I wanted to do this. I knew, and that meant 2 years of sort of preparing, you know, what kind of stories did I want to do, what kind of a brand did I have, how did I want to make that transition so that when I was in a position to negotiating and get all the documentaries that I had done, I was able to do it. That was a challenging negotiation. That was not easy. So, you know, I think a lot of it was that. I think it was, there was just a lot of trying to figure out how you would, you know, just make the transition, because I think not everybody can do a leap. For some people, it's fine. They're like, oh, done, I'm moving on to something else. But not everybody can do that. For me, I sort of did a little bit of both. I knew I had an idea. It meant finding good people around me so that when I was ready to make the leap, I would have good people to talk to and go to. So I think that's all really, you know, not everybody can just jump.
Yeah. I like what you said about having good supportive people around you. Who are some of the most influential people who have had a significant impact on your life, your choices, your career?
Oh, my gosh. You know, my parents have been really huge. My siblings have been wonderful. I've been really lucky. I've just had some great people. And sometimes just people who call you on stuff. I have a best friend who was my boss for a couple of different places. And, just really, I've had wonderful, wonderful opportunities.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. Because, I mean, sometimes you never really think about that when it's change that you're dealing with. And sometimes just, you know, people who really mean a lot to you, like you said, the family or the parents. Everyone doesn't have supportive parents, and we know that. But just to have friends and people who can, like you said, give you advice that you may not want to hear, but sometimes you need to hear it. That's how we grow. That's how we grow.
Exactly. And I think, Phoebe, that, you know, you also need to be, I think what you've done very well and you talk about all the time, right, is the change that you made. I think that helps inspire people. I think a lot of people don't know how it turns out for everybody. I think they need to hear, you can actually leave a big job at IBM and go do something that you're really passionate about. I think not everybody knows that.
Right, exactly. And I don't mind being transparent because I want people to know that just because I chose the change doesn't mean that it made it any easier for me to manage and handle. I was afraid. I was terrified. But you will never, ever know. Yeah, you'll never, ever know what you can accomplish if you don't get out there and try. I mean, you've got to take the risk. If you're committed in a goal, you'll do whatever it takes. If you're interested, you'll just do what's convenient. But
yeah,
when you're committed,
sometimes people don't know what they're passionate about. I mean, I always felt very fortunate that I knew what I'd like to do. Right. So to me, it was just, I need to leave what I'm doing and go to a place where I can only do what I like to do. So that's been really fun.
Yes, yes. And you started at a very young age, too. So you knew pretty early on.
Exactly. No, I love what I do. I really do. And I have loved working at CNN. It's been a great place to work. You know, the last couple of days, I feel like some of the shows that we were doing, I interviewed a groundhog, and I just felt like, I could be doing, you know, I could spend my time, you know, covering stories that I think are challenging and tougher and grilling people about things that I think matter. You know, so I know that that's what I really want to focus on.
Awesome, awesome. You have just been amazing. I am so,
you're so
intrigued.
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah, and I really, really appreciate you doing this because I am so committed to helping people accomplish their goals and do what it is. I do a lot of workshops on goal setting, and I'm actually going to be one of the ones who reaches out
Please
to
do.
Your
Oh, my gosh,
organization.
That's exactly what our girls need, right? We need
exactly.
someone who wants to volunteer to teach them how to reach their goals.
Yes.
I mean, if you're an 18-year-old young woman, it's really tough.
Yes. It really is. It really is. Because, I mean, unfortunately, our girls have to deal with all of the bullying, and now it's the cyberbullying and the peer pressure and, you know, drugs and all of these things that they have to deal with that they didn't have back in my day when I was growing up. So, you know, I'm just really committed to trying to help them. I mean, we all need to pull together. Yes, they may be getting some support at home, but they may not be. And
you
just never know. You just never know what's
Good
going
for you.
On.
That's
so.
Great.
Okay, Soledad, so we're coming up on our last couple of minutes of the show, so I'm going to ask you to just close us out and give some advice. If you had to give all of our listeners some advice on how to live their lives in a more rewarding manner, what would that advice be?
I think you have to really listen to your heart. I think your body is very good at telling you when something's not working. We all know that. You get sick, you feel tired, you feel stressed. You know, at some point you can't continue to burn the candle at both ends and think that it's not going to affect you, that it's going to be healthy. So I think it's a lot of maturing. The thing I love about being 46 and not 26 or 16 is that, you know, I kind of know what my body's thinking and feeling. I know how to read myself. I think it's really about kind of listening to your body and what makes you happy and what kind of person do you want to be and what kind of life do you want to lead and kind of finding a quiet space to really figure that out. And then once you get there, map it out. You know, literally figure out what does it look like? Who's in that life? Who's not in that life? What are you doing? What do you do in the morning? What do you do in the afternoon? When do you leave work? What kind of work are you doing? You know, once you kind of have it in your head, I think then you can really move from there. But you first have to have a good sense in your head of what you want your life to be.
I absolutely love that advice. So true, so true. I second, third, and fourth every single thing you said. Yes, yes. And I love the part about map it out. If you don't have a map, you don't know where you're going. So this any old path will do. So, yes. Thank you so much. We thank you so much for joining us for this interview. You have been a wealth of knowledge, and I'm telling you, you have fueled so many souls who are listening to this interview.
Oh, you're so nice. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, and we wish you so many blessings with all of your projects and your Starfish Media Group and your organization helping young ladies. Oh, you're just amazing. So thank you
so
much
nice.
For joining us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, and so we're going to sign off for now, and we will be back next week with another episode of Living by Design. Thank you, and good evening, everyone.